So, as I said, for the last few weeks, we've been surrounded by all the things that we've accumulated over our lives. That there's nothing more humbling than to realize that, wow, there's a lot of stuff in the house. And as I'm sure you've found, when you sort through that stuff, it isn't really stuff that we wanted or needed a lot of times, or it was worn out and needed to be thrown away. But there were all kinds of things that, as we went through them, brought back memories. I mean, it's a really emotional experience to pack and move, particularly when you hit the pictures of us with the kids when they were first born or going off to school, pictures of us from Jesse's young adult life or mine, pictures from my childhood or hers. And I came to a stunning realization, but not for the first time. I look sort of like I did 5 years ago. I look a bit like I did 10 years ago. There's a vague resemblance to 30-year-old me, but the further I looked back in time, the less I resembled what I look like now. There's one picture of me as a small boy holding a rabbit. I think maybe I was three and a half. It really cute. If I hadn't ever seen it before and didn't know it was of me, I wouldn't know myself. There was a time when I weighed 40 pounds and was as cute as a button. No longer. But as I said, this is not the only time that I've been hit in the head with the realization that the face I see every day doesn't look like it used to look. Memory is a strange thing, isn't it? I've been looking in the mirror my whole life, and yet it's not until I look at an old picture that I see that I almost don't look like the same person. I feel like the same person. My lying eyes still see the same person, but I'm not the same. My skin is different. It's rougher. The lines on my face are different. My hair is graying, as is my beard. There's a lot more of my face than there was when, for instance, I was a 175-pound 17-year-old rather than a 275-pound 52-year-old. My left leg weighs more than the kid holding the bunny rabbit. But 35 years don't need to pass in order to be fooled by the mirror or by the cell phone camera. We take all kinds of pictures of ourselves and of those around us, don't we? What do we see when we look at them? Do we recognize what is truly us beneath the skin? Because for all the pictures we take, for all our attempts to see ourselves, it isn't with our eyes that we'll ultimately take in our essence. It's with our consciences, with our hearts and minds. I'm not the little kid or the adolescent, or the young man, or the middle-aged graying man in the pictures. In some sense, though, I'm all of them simultaneously, and yet, not one of those pictures shows me, or you, who I am, who you are. A picture, a mirror, any image of us can't capture who we are. Because we're all more than what we or others see. We are our mistakes and our successes. We are our thoughts and the things we've done to put those thoughts into action and the subsequent result of that process. We are the things we've learned and believed that were behind the thoughts, for that matter. And most of all, we are in some mysterious way intimately connected to God, whether or not we believe, whether or not we pray, whether or not we worship or read scripture or anything else related to what we call faith. Because God made us to live in that connection. It is absolutely impossible to break it. And when we are unconscious of the connection, or worse, try to live, believe, and understand ourselves apart from God, we can look at ourselves, think about our lives, remember all that has happened, and yet not really make sense of it at all. It's impossible to see ourselves truly apart from God. James wrote in the epistle we read today, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. They look at themselves in the mirror and on going away immediately forget what they were like. I think I know what that means now. I've heard that the eyes are the windows of the soul. When we look into our own eyes, what do we see? It's different for everyone, obviously. You know better than I do what you see when you look into your own eyes, gaze at your own reflection, see a picture of yourself. I do think, and I think that Scripture bears me out on this, that if we go through life detached from God, detached from the gospel that Jesus proclaimed and lived, we run the risk, the near certainty, of becoming people who don't recognize ourselves. We might look familiar, but who we might want to be, who we know deep down inside we're supposed to be, is probably not in that mirror or that photograph. This is what James was writing about. James is telling us that if we want to know who we are, deep inside, beneath the reflection, behind the pixels, we shouldn't look at the image. Now, that makes it very hard to shave or do your makeup, but if you're trying to recognize yourself, if you're trying to know the essence of who you are, don't look at the picture. We should be thinking about Scripture. We should be thinking about Jesus and listening for Jesus. We should examine not our appearance, but how closely our lives reflect what God tells us is important. Important not just to think and believe, but to do. Because over time, worshiping God, following Jesus, reading Scripture, praying during important times and even during the mundane times, the everyday things that we do, those will shape our true appearance. The appearance that God knows best about us, that we're trying to find. I can't be in a picture now without thinking to myself, wow, I have to remember not to get in front of a camera. But when I see myself in the light of the gospel, I'm happier with how I look than I used to be. I still don't have the spiritual beach body, that glowing spiritual tan from living only in God's light, but I am more comfortable with the man I see than I would be trying to live apart from Jesus. I believe this is universally true. We use different words and phrases to talk about this reality, this process. We call it faith. We call it spiritual formation. There are elements to it. The process of learning about God, about ourselves. The process of transforming ourselves through shared life in the church. The process of understanding all of our life stages in a spiritual way. Babies don't just get born in the church. We baptize them into new life. We confirm adolescents and young adults. We get married in front of our fellow church members. We break bread, share worship, serve our neighbors, love, experience joy, pain, suffering, and every other facet of human existence through this connection to God and to one another. And in those experiences, in that life that we have together, we come to know what we look like. We come to know how God sees us. And it's my great blessing and my family's to embark upon the next stage of our lives with you. I've been amazed by God so many times over the years. I look back at the spiritual snapshots, the memories I have of the church, and I see myself, of course, but the picture has changed as much as my face and my body have with the passage of years. And for the most part, very much for the better. Very much for the better. Living our lives in a community of saints, such as this one, has caused me to see myself and know peace. It's not peace as the world defines it. Rather, it is the peace that comes from knowing that whatever is going on in my life or in the world around me, Jesus is with me. When we exchange the peace every Sunday, that's what's going through my mind. I'm not simply saying hello in some very churchy way. Sometimes we think that's what's going on, right? That we're all saying hello, but we're saying it in a very churchy way. Peace be with you. Hello. That's not really what we're doing. What I'm sharing with you when we share the peace is the knowledge of Jesus Christ's love and presence in our lives, that we have that together. And when we shake hands, that's what we're indicating to one another, that we have that fellowship in Christ. And that presence and love that James refers to when he says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." That's us. In other words, when we look at ourselves, we aren't merely seeing our faces or seeing the people we wish we were. We're seeing the people we are because of the lives we have lived and are continuing to live in Christ. And whomever we have been, if we see not only ourselves, but Christ within us, Christ in our neighbor, guiding us into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, we're blessed by God in how we live our lives. My great privilege is to join you in this spiritual home that has been yours, and to make it mine and my family's too. I get to talk with you about the gospel, about the mission of God, about how we are called to live in the world. And all of us together get to take those conversations and the thoughts behind them and put them into action to create a different face, a different community, a different way that God is with us, a different portrait of who we are to the world, to put all those things into action. We get to share them with our neighbors and our friends and bring them, God willing, into the same deeper, richer kind of life that God has blessed us with. And that excites me. That is why I do what I do. I get to share the love of Christ that I have known with others, and to hear how Jesus is at work through them. Or if he's not yet at work in them, to open the window through which the breath of the Spirit might blow and bring them closer to the knowledge of themselves that we're seeking too. So thank you for welcoming us. And I pray that in the years ahead of us, we will be welcoming many others into this family too. Amen.